Our Father,
in the name of Jesus,
we behold Christ
as He sees us in Him.
As we hear Your word,
we receive Your word
with the whole of our heart.
There's no error
in this atmosphere.
We receive
as we ought to receive.
In Jesus' name,
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we started off on the topic of the spirit within and the spirit upon, right?
Okay, this should be week 3.
If I'm not mistaken, week 3.
The spirit within and the spirit upon.
Matthew 28.
Quickly.
Matthew chapter number 28,
verses 18.
And Jesus came and said to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now we said, when you hear the word heaven and on earth, it implies the indwelling of the Spirit. Was that what we said? Okay. Okay. We said it implies amongst men, right? Okay, that was where we stopped, right? Amongst men. Now, heaven and earth is Moses' language. Heaven and earth is Moses' language. Now, Moses will use heaven and earth to describe God in man. Do you understand me? You understand? So when you hear the word heaven and earth, it's Moses' language. So when Moses gave them the tabernacle, was to describe heaven and earth in one place. Do you understand? Heaven and earth in one place. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
To describe heaven and earth in one place. So, you know, if you go to Genesis chapter 1, Moses writes and says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So it's Moses' language to talk about heaven and earth in a particular place. So when he said it is, when you hear heaven and earth, it means it implies amongst men. And when he talks about here amongst men, we say much more the new creation. Do you understand me? So it's the new creation, the man in Christ, that is heaven and earth. Are you hearing me? So it's a new creation that is heaven and earth. So the word heaven and earth signifies the indwelling of the Spirit. We're going to see that shortly. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. The indwelling of the Spirit. Remember, I just said it is Moses' language used to describe when he gave them the tabernacle was to show them heaven and earth being in one place, right? Now if we go to John chapter 1, where we looked at yesterday, he said, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word points to God, right? That word is the word logos, we said. And logos is used for the reason for, right? The reason for. Now he said, in the beginning was the logos. And the Logos was with God, and God is the Logos. Then now says, same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by Him, and without Him is anything made that is made. Saying, Him is life, and the life is the light of men. Hallelujah. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend. He said, there was a man sent from God. He said, whose name is John? He says, the same came to bear witness of that light. Say, he is not the light, but was come to bear witness of that light, that all through him may believe. Right? Hallelujah. Now in verse 14, that said, and that word. Verse 14, that said, now what? Became flesh and tabernacle. Now, John now brings in Moses' words. Moses' tabernacle. So that word became flesh. That is the incarnation. And dwelt amongst us. Hallelujah. Do you get that? And so, meaning Jesus being on earth. Remember in verses Okay, that's in verse 14. It says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of God. Right? Right? In verse 18, he also called, he said, no one has seen God at any time. He said, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he said, he has declared it. Who is the bosom of God? He said, he has declared it. So Jesus, in his incarnation, is the, we said this during last GPLC, Jesus in his incarnation is the only begotten of God, as at that point. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, listen. So, because he is the only begotten, so, listen. Look at how John now writes. He now said he is. He says that word became flesh and tabernacled amongst them. So, and tabernacled amongst us, right? And we beheld his glory. When he said we, it's not all of us here. I've said that, right? I've said that several times, not all of us here that beheld that glory. We're talking about those who were eyewitness of his incarnation. Hallelujah. They beheld his glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So now, Jesus in his incarnation is heaven on earth, or heaven and earth in the same place. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Jesus, while in his incarnation, is heaven and earth in the same place. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Much more, when a man gets saved, when a man gets born again, he is now heaven in the earth. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Because the Spirit of God dwells in him. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So that is how we say, in heaven and on earth is among men, which is in the believer. Right? Right? So during our CRC 2, we saw that it is what? The authority of the believer. Right? Now, he said, amongst men. And when you talk about amongst men, he's referring to what? The man in Christ. Hallelujah. So he said, all authority has given to me in heaven and on earth. And I said, go therefore and make disciples of every nation. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now let's take something out of this. He says, go make disciples. That word to make disciples, which in the Old King James is the word to teach all nations, is the word matitio. Matitio. He has the noun matitis, which is the word used for one who is learning, an apprentice, a learner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus' mandate for us is that disciples should be raised. Right? We say that over and over and over again. His mandate is for us to raise disciples. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And we said something last week, that the disciple, was it last week or last 2 weeks? I guess it should be last 2 weeks. And the disciple of Christ, okay, last week, one of the things that must be found in the disciple of Christ, or that the disciple of Christ should be taught what? How Christ explains scripture. Was that what we said? Right? We said the disciple must be taught Christ didache. Right? Right? Christ didache, Christ's mode of teaching. The disciple must observe how Christ explains scripture, how Jesus explains scriptures, and do the same. So, your explanation of scripture must be Christ's explanation of scriptures. You must observe that. Christ's didache. What is Jesus' didache? He explains scriptures in the light of himself, right? And much more, our explanation of scripture must be in tangent with what? With the epistles, because we said the epistles are the explanation of scriptures to us. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Also, the disciple of Christ must be taught to observe
that Christ is in them. We saw that last week too, right? Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you. And we said that word, I am with you, means I am in you. Hallelujah. So the disciple of Christ must never lose fact of this truth, that Jesus is in him. That was what we said. That Jesus isn't him. So you must never lose sight of that truth, that Christ now dwells in him. Never must he lose sight of that truth. Never. Hallelujah. That word to observe is the Greek word terio, to fix your eyes steadily on something. Terio, to fix your eyes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, we also saw that when a man believes the gospel, he receives the Spirit. Right? We saw that too, right? When a man believes the gospel, he receives the Spirit. Or a man receives the Spirit when he believes the gospel. To be born again is to be born of the Spirit. John 3, verse 5. Verse 8, to be born again is to be born of the Spirit. Say, I don't know, how can I be born of the Spirit? No, are you born again? If you are born again, you are born of the Spirit of God. You are spiritual. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You are spiritual. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's look at something from Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 15. Let's look at something. It said, and he came to them and said, go therefore into the world, go into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. See, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. He says, he who believes and is baptized. Now that word, and is baptized, is not you believe and then go for water baptism. That baptized, there is not water baptism. That word, and, is the word kai in the Greek. Hallelujah. And the word and is not joining two different words. No, it's actually explaining. It's actually buttressing that word to believe. So he said, he who believes, that is baptized. Hallelujah. He who believes, that is baptized, shall be saved. So, to believe the gospel. Is what Jesus called to be baptized in Mark 16. These are not two different encounters. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Mark 16. That's what he said. Glory to God. Let's look at Acts 19. Acts 19. So it's not water baptism he's talking about there. No, it's not water baptism. He said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and his signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out demons. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Mark 19 says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, passing through the upper region, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, we have not heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Mark Acts 19, whether there is a Holy Spirit. Verse 3, and he said to them, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Underline that. Into John's baptism. And he said to them, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now we see different things. You need to look at this critically. Now, remember, I've just told you that Jesus called the new birth the baptism, right? He called it baptized, to be baptized in Mark 16, right? He said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And we said, that is, he called the new birth, or he called the believing to be baptized in his name, right? Now, here is an event. Apollos just left Corinth. Apollos just left Corinth. Let's read something about Apollos in chapter 18. Go back to chapter 18. Verse 24. It said, there was a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Sorry, that was Ephesus, not Corinth. The man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. Now, critically, let's go back to that chapter 19. So now, Apollos has left Ephesus for what? For Corinth, right? Right? Now, Paul is at Ephesus and he met some people. Hallelujah. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you were baptized? And they said, we've not heard of any Holy Ghost. Listen, you know, let's first of all take something out. He said, so then were you in, okay, so what then were you baptized into? He said, into John's baptism. Now, Apollos just left, and we just saw that Apollos knew only the baptism of John, right? Let's backtrack from Apollos down to chapter 19, right? Now, what did Apollos teach? Let's look at Apollos in chapter 18 quickly. Verse 25. He said he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, meaning number one, Apollos was saved. Are you hearing me? Apollos was saved. Now, Apollos knew the Bible says in verse 25, he said he was fervent in spirit and he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. He spoke and taught accurately. Do you understand me? So Apollos, number one, was saved. Now when he said he knew only the baptism of John, the next question will now be, what is John's baptism? Do you understand me? Because Apollos cannot be saved and listen, and these guys in chapter 19, I strongly would believe also that they were not Apollos converts. There might be people who attended Apollos meetings. Do you understand me? There might be people who followed Apollos from afar, but they are not Apollos' disciples. Because the Bible said Apollos knew accurately the way of the Lord, right? He was instructed well. He knew the things of the Lord accurately, though he knew the baptism. Though he knew only John's baptism. When he said he knew only John's baptism, he's talking about the fact that he knew only the message of John. We're going to look at it. Hallelujah. Look at that chapter 19. Back to chapter 19. When they asked them, when Paul asked them in verse 3, he told them, were you baptized? Verse 3, and they said, into John's baptism. Now, what do they mean by John's baptism here? They meant they were baptized by water, right? Now, the use of John's baptism in chapter 18 and 19 are not the same. And you need to look at it critically. Look at what Paul now calls John's baptism in verse 4. Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying, Paul called John's baptism a message. He said what? Saying. So John's baptism was a message. Are you following me? Are you following me? And I hope you've listened to the message explaining baptism, because this is there. Hallelujah. So you're just taking a bit from there. Hallelujah. So it was a message. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So John's baptism was a message. That's what Paul is saying. Where will Paul get it from? Matthew chapter 3. Let's go rush down to Matthew chapter 3. Let's see Paul. Let's see John. Okay, I'm gonna get something quickly from you. This was he and them. A second. Sorry. Okay. So we just go rush down to Luke. Let's look at Luke's account. Luke chapter 3. Now, look at John's baptism, verse 7. And he said to the multitude, this is John speaking. Now he said to the multitude that came about to be baptized by him, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. And do not begin to say to yourself, we have Abraham. He thought from here down up until, look at, this is John teaching, this is John admonition, down to verse 16. He was teaching them. Hallelujah. Look at what he now said in verse 16. He said, John answered and said, I baptize you with water. Now, if you read Matthew's account, it says, unto repentance. Do you understand me? Unto repentance. But he who is come, but one mightier than I am, is come, whose son has tribe, I'm not worthy to lose. He will baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 18. And many other exhortations he preached to the people. Did you see that? He preached to the people. So, John, just like every other prophet, We do what? We bear in their leaves the message of Christ. Do you understand me? So that is, so John's baptism is also called his message. So John's message is also John's baptism. So John has, now let's look at it. John's baptism has a message and also has an activity. The activity is the water. Do you understand me? So, but it has a message, right? And what is the message? Pointing to who? To Christ. Are you with me? So, Paul in Acts of Apostles chapter 19, let's go back there, was quick to tell them that John preached what? Repentance. Look at that. So, he quickly pointed the attention to the fact that John's baptism is a message. In fact, John's baptism is a message first before the water. Do you understand me? John's baptism is a message first before the water. And what was John's message? What was John's assignment? To prepare you the way of the Lord. Right? So the moment John met with Jesus, what happened to John's ministry? That was the day he ended. Hallelujah. That was the day he ended. You be with God. Hallelujah. Acts 19. Verse 4. Right? It says, and John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people, they should believe on him who would come after him. That is on Jesus Christ. So that is John's baptism. To believe on Jesus Christ. That's John's baptism. Hallelujah. But those guys were wallowing away with water. I don't know what they were baptized with. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 5. This is where I'm going to. So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. How did that happen? Cast your mind back to Mark 16, right? They believed, right? Hallelujah. They did what? They believed. Are you listening to me? They believed in the gospel. So what did Paul do? Paul explained scriptures to them and they believed, right? And they were saved. So meaning to be born again is to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Are you with me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that baptized there is not water baptism. So when you hear Apollos knew only the way of the Lord, knew only John's baptism, it means he only knew the explanation of Christ from John's message. Do you understand me? Aha. Uh-huh. From John's message. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay. Now, this believing the gospel, being born again, we say it is the indwelling of the Spirit. Right? That is the indwelling of the Spirit of God dwelling in man. And we say this indwelling from John chapter 8, verse 12 is what? Is light. Right? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The Spirit of God in the believer is the light of the believer. John 8, 12. John 8 verse 12. Are you there? It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. When Jesus said, he who follows me, he's speaking about the new birth, right? What would happen in the resurrection? He who follows me in the resurrection shall not walk in darkness. Hallelujah. Amen. So he who is born again has light in him. So the believer has the light of God in him. I would say the light of God is the Spirit of God, right? Was that what we said? That the Spirit of God in the believer is the light of God. And our light is the word for direction. So therefore we can say the believer does not lack direction. The believer is well directed. We don't have direction crisis. No, a believer should not be found saying, I don't know what to do. A believer does not have direction crisis. The same way he does not have authority issues or righteousness issues. Hallelujah. If there will be any issue, it will be what? We said knowledge, right? Okay, let's take this. If there will be any issue, it will be perception issue. Perception. How a man perceives and receives the leading of the Spirit. And that is a function of knowledge. Because he doesn't lack it. So it's a function of knowledge. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And we say that is why Paul in his epistles will pray in line with what knowledge for his those that would that he's writing to. Hallelujah. We said Christianity is a knowledge-based faith. Was that what we said? It's a knowledge-based faith. That is, you can only function to the degree of what you know about God, or what you've come to know about God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look at something. Romans chapter 8 verse 14. He says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 8, 14 says, "As many as are led." Well, hear that word, "as many as are led." It tends to point to some people are not led. Some people are led and they are in Christ. No. What Paul is saying is all who are led. That's what, because in verses 9, look at, let's just go back a bit. In verse 9 he said, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Because indeed, right? We said that word if is supposed to be what? Because, right? Because indeed. Because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Hallelujah. Because the Spirit of God dwells in you, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, therefore, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Then he now goes to verse 14 and says, all who are led by the Spirit. Did you see that? You don't as many as you can still leave that is still looking, but it's all who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Now, when he uses the word led, it's from the Greek word ago, A-G-O, ago. It implies to bring forth, to come forth. So, it's just like I said, as many who are brought forth by the Spirit. Glory to God. John chapter 3 verse 8. It said, which were born not of blood. John 3, 8. It said, the wind blow where it listed and you hear the sound thereof and can't tell where it cometh and where it goeth. It said, so is he that is born of the Spirit. Now, he uses the word ago in Romans 8 verse 14. To bring forth. To come forth from. Hallelujah. So, he uses it. So when he says as many as are led by the Spirit, meaning as many that are brought forth from or by the Spirit, which is who? The man in Christ. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. He says he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. Meaning he has brought us forth from darkness to light. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. He said these are the children of God. So he uses that word in relation to the new birth. That verse 14 is concerning the new birth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption by whom you cry out, Abba Father. Hallelujah. So the indwelling of the Spirit of God is what? Is that bringing forth from darkness. Remember, we saw that. That was, I'm trying to remember the message we ministered about, concerning in Colossians. Okay, that should be understanding the gospel 2a. We said Colossians 1 verse 12 into 13, where he said he translated us from the kingdom of darkness. I said he should have started from verses 12, right? Say in the light. How in the light? Is not God moving you from one kingdom and putting inside BRT to go to another kingdom? No. It's not a process of movement. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's actually in the light. He delivered you from darkness. That deliverance from darkness is the light of God in your spirit. Do you understand me? That is the Spirit of God in the believer. That is the deliverance. Look at Colossians chapter 12. Colossians 1 verse 12. I said Colossians chapter 12. Colossians 1, quickly. Colossians 1. Verse 12. It says, giving thanks to the Father who hath qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Right? That's where that verse is supposed to end. Glory to God. Who has qualified us? When did he qualify us? In the new birth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He now says, in the light. Now that in the light is supposed to start up verses 13. He says, in the light, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. That is, that word "and" is what explanatory. That is, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So how did he deliver us from darkness? In the light. And what is the light? In the Spirit of God in the believer. That's the Spirit of God, right? Has that not been what we've been looking at since last week? That the Spirit of God is the light of God that a believer has, right? So that Spirit of God, that is why he said the light shines in darkness and darkness is not comprehended. Hallelujah. Did you understand that? So the light, the Spirit of God in the believer, the indwelling of the Spirit of God is that deliverance from darkness. Do you understand? He is that deliverance, or that is the deliverance from darkness. The indwelling of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, back to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. That was where we were. Romans 8, 15. It says, you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but received the spirit of adoption, whereby we will cry, Abba, Father. So we receive the Spirit. Hallelujah. I will say that Spirit is that leading. Right? Right? So the as many that are led by the Spirit is the indwelling of the Spirit. Genuinely. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So the indwelling of the Spirit is that bringing forth. Is that bringing forth? Hallelujah. Are you following me? Uh-huh. Glory to God. Verse 16 now says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That word bears witness. Witness there is the word sumaterio. S-U-M-M-A-R-T-U-R-E-O. Sumaterio in the Greek. Or some material. Some material. Hallelujah. In the Greek. So when you have that bear witness, remember if you look at, I want to bring out, there's something I want to, okay. John 5:39. He said, these are they which testify of me, the scripture. That word testify there is not some material. It's actually material. I'm trying to pronounce it rightly. Okay. Now, that's different. That is to testify of, right? Now, a prefix is added, which is some material. Glory to God. Now, that was some material. That was some material implies, or the word some material rather is a verb. Let's start from there. It's a verb. So it's an active word. Some material is a verb. So it's an active word. It's a word that implies a joint testimony. So here the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That is a joint testimony. Do you understand me? It's a joint testimony. It's a word you'll find in Romans 9. Look at chapter 9 verse 1. He said, I tell you truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Did you see that? Some material. In chapter 2, verse 15, you have the same word there. Romans 2:15. So John, Paul used it in Romans 2:15. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, to show the works of the law written in their heart, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts are, accusing or excusing them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, in the let me not deviate. So that's the word, that word bearing or witness there, there was some material. Some material. Romans 9:1, Romans 2:15. So he said the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. So there's a joint testimony, a joint witness. So this speaks of the witness of the spirit. The witness of the spirit in the believer that we are sons of God. It is called the inward witness. It's called the inward witness of the believer or in the believer. Called the inward witness. When the word some material is used, or the word some material is used to show what is, when that word is used, rather, it shows what is in the spirit is also in our spirit. For using that word some material, the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. You see that what is in the spirit is what is in our spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we don't struggle with the things of the spirit because they are things of our own spirit. Are you with me? Look at 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17. 1 Corinthians 6 17. It says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. First Corinthians 12. Paul went ahead to list those things which the things or the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12. It says there are diversities of gifts. He said verse 4, but the same Spirit. Look at what it says in verse 4. They say, but one and the same Spirit. He listed every ordinary from verses 8. Look at verse 11. They say, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. He said, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Look at verse 13. He said, for in one Spirit, that word by one Spirit, you change it to in. That is it's supposed to be in. Say, for in one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greek. Hallelujah. Whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into one spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's one spirit with him. Glory to God. So what is in your spirit is in our spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the spirit of God that we have is God in the believer. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12. It says, from verse 11, it says, what man knoweth the things of a man except the man and the spirit which is in him? He said, the things of God knoweth no man except the spirit of God. He said, we'll receive not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said that we should know those things that are freely given to us of God. Hallelujah. I said, which things will speak? Not in the world thing which human wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teaches. I said, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Hallelujah. So therefore, we've received the Spirit of God. The very Spirit of God. Not one that looks like it. The very Spirit of God is what we have. The very Spirit of God. Not a shadow of the very one. It is God Himself in us. Glory to God. God lives in me. He lives in me. You can say that. He lives in me. He's our present day reality. He's our present now forever reality. He's our present now forever reality. He lives in me. Hallelujah. Say, don't you know your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. He lives in me. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
He's eternal, right? Glory to God. He doesn't come to go. He stays forever. I'm His permanent dwelling place. Glory to God. Now the Spirit of God, since you have the Spirit of God, you know, the Spirit of God is knowledgeable about everything that has to do with God. So the Spirit of God has every information. Or knows everything about God. Hope you know that. So therefore you know everything about God. Yes now. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's take it down. You can't water that down. The Spirit of God, you know, the Spirit of God that is in you is knowledgeable about God totally.
Yes, sir.
I hope you know that. Eh? He know, so meaning in you is the reality or the knowledge of God. Right? You don't train the Spirit of God, no. I want to train the Spirit of God in me. No. You don't train the Spirit of God. It is God in you. Hallelujah. So He knows. See, the Spirit of God in the believer is knowledgeable about everything that has to do with God. Because He is God. Now, can you not see why I said this? The believer does not lack direction. Does not have direction crisis. Because God lives in you. The omnipotent, the all-knowing God, He's in you. Do you understand that? He's in you. So He knows everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of God does not try to know God. The Spirit of God in the believer does not try to know God. No. No. He knows God. He's knowledgeable about God. So, what needs knowledge is your mind. That's why you're here. Your mind needs to be trained. Your mind needs to come to that knowledge. Do you understand me? And that's the reason we listen to the Word of God. Your mind needs to be trained to know Him. And that's why we say the degree of how you walk in your Christian life, or the degree of your knowledge of God, or the degree of your effectiveness in your Christian life is to the degree of the knowledge that you have about God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So it's your mind that needs to come comprehend, that needs to grow to comprehend all of God. All the things that are all of God, rather. So your mind needs to comprehend the things of God. So, that is the reason why we teach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the reason why we teach. Because remember last week we said the scriptures are spirit, is spirit inspired, right?
Yes, sir.
We say it's spirit inspired. And we say proper explanation of scripture is the spirit leading, right? Right? Because it's spirit inspired when it is properly interpreted. Yeah? And that is why a believer that grows, you discover that he stops this funny talk of the Spirit of God interpreted it to me. No. He will stop it. He showed me something that is beyond these letters. No. Do you understand? It's a sign of growth. He just stop it. Because it is it is spirit inspired, right? Now, since it is spirit inspired, the Spirit of God inspired how it should be written. Right? So read it the way He inspired it to read. To be read. We just read it all together. Are you with me? Read it all together. Read in context. Interpret it rightly. Is the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Did you understand? So, right interpretation or right interpretation of scriptures is the leading of the Spirit. Because it's the Spirit inspired. So, the scriptures is given to us. God gave us the scriptures so that we would come to know Him. Come to know Him and walk in the light of what we know about Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the reason why we teach is to the end that we educate our mind with what is in the Spirit. So you see, everything we teach today, everything we are teaching now is in the Spirit. So we are not educating the Spirit. No, it's your mind that is being educated. Hallelujah. Are you following me? It's your mind that needs to be educated. James will call it receiving the engrafted word. Hallelujah. So it's the mind that needs to be educated. It's the mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit is not taught to know. The Spirit knows. Rather, your mind receives information when taught from the Spirit. So as I'm teaching you, what I'm giving to you is the information from your spirit, from the Spirit of God that is in you. Do you understand? It's the information. That is the education. So your mind is educated. Glory to God. Are you following me? Are you following me? Okay. Oh, well, we're taking our time. Okay. Let's go a step further. So your mind, okay, we say your mind receives information, right? Let's look at Ephesians 1, 8 to 9. Ephesians 1, verse 8 into 9. Let's see something. Quickly. Ephesians. Are you in Ephesians? Look at verses 8. Okay, let's start from verse 7. It says, in Him we have received redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Having made known to us, take note of that, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, He purposed in Himself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the Spirit instructs the mind. He instructs the mind. How? With the Word. So, remember, if you cast your mind back to the leading of the Spirit, we said the Spirit of God will not lead you outside the Word, right? That the written Word is the leading of the Spirit, right? If you remember very well, if you've listened to the message. Okay, so the primary way we are led by the Spirit of God is via the written word. The primary way we are led by the Spirit of God is with the written word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the Spirit of God in you will not lead you outside the written word. He will not. So that is, you know, the Bible said, sir, I don't know if it is the spirit of my mind that is talking to me. The Spirit of God will not lead you outside the written word. So the written word becomes your guide. Becomes the leading of the Spirit to you. Say, oh Lord, show me your leading. Read the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Read the word. The word of God, or the word is, the scripture is the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there are some people who, there are some believers who still have these issues of, is it God or my mind? No. Hallelujah. We have that inward witness. Hallelujah. Pastor Shevu will call it, the inward witness is the witness of the man born again. It's the witness of the man born again. It's a which refutes, accepts, endorses, along that line. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So is the witness of the man born again. Hallelujah. And the only, see, the witness of the Spirit you would have is to the degree of the knowledge of God that you have. Are you hearing me? Because he will not lead you outside. Listen, you cannot be led outside the knowledge of the word of God you know. Hallelujah. Very, very important. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember we said Jesus speaks absolutely yesterday, right? Yes, right? We said Jesus speaks absolutely, right? Aha. The Spirit of God speaks absolutely. We're listening to Pastor Shego. He said something like this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is absolute, speaks in absolute terms. And when he speaks, he drowns fear. You don't need to be double sure because his words are absolute. So his words will drown. So when you are having double thoughts, is it God, is it not God? It's not God at all. So one is good, one says do, one says don't do. It's not God, is not speaking. That is not God. I hear it. They say, which one is God? My mind is telling me to do that. He is just your head working on you. Hallelujah. Because when the Spirit of God speaks, it will drown fear. It will drown doubt. Are you hearing me? It will drown fear. It will drown doubt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God speaks in absolute terms. God speaks in absolute terms. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, this is the reason why, as a believer, you must speak in tongues always. Speak in tongues always. You know, you cannot overemphasize speaking in tongues for the believer. Hallelujah. He was speaking tongues always. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Speaking tongues always. Always. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Not necessarily, you know, you have devoted time to pray, prayer time, but you know, outside that, you just alone, just speaking tongues. Rather than just keeping quiet, just looking up, just speaking tongues. Hallelujah. You're walking, you're in tongues. You're just humming it. Hallelujah. Speaking tongues always. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I don't walk in confusion. I don't walk in confusion, in darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay. Okay. We still have a lot to cover today. Maybe just trying to look at it. So there's a whole lot to cover. I want us to cover this, but I don't know. We're behind schedule. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's look at Jesus' words briefly before we go. Look at Luke 24.
Start from here next week. Glory to God. Let's get on our feet. Oh, thank you. Let's just